On a night when right now people are celebrating New Year's Eve on the West Coast, and Happy New Year to all of the people who are just coming online for that tonight. We still got Hawaii, I guess, still ahead a little bit later on. But also because we were just talking about the conflict between Christians and Muslims and whether or not that would get worse. That was the prediction for somebody for the year 2011. Because of the bomb that went off outside of a Coptic Christian church in Egypt, where it seems Muslims were hurt equally along with Christians, sort of targeting the area as opposed to the church itself. But still, their prediction is that there will be rising tensions and that there will be an uprising within Christians against Muslims, said the last caller. So I thought, what more appropriate than to play a little House of Pain, that song, which is led by a white Irish Muslim. Remember that? Remember that band, House of Pain? They weren't around for long. But Everlast will be here forever. Well, or maybe not. But anyway, there are other predictions that came out last year. We were keeping track of them. 2009 leading into 2010. Many people had different thoughts about what might happen. Let's see, I believe it was, I don't know what the woman's name, who said a non-mainstream church will make an archaeological discovery that will help vindicate its teachings, possibly the discovery of an ancient city. I'm going yes on this. So I even put up a link. I mean, I don't know if it was as dramatic as the prediction was posed, but if you go online at coasttocoastam.com, we put a link up to a story about the top 10 archaeological discoveries of 2010. And I thought there were super good ones, really interesting, including the research team in Jamestown, Virginia, that uncovered the footprint of the earliest Protestant church in North America. It was built in 1608 and is believed to be the site of the 1614, the year 1614, the marriage in 1614 between Pocahontas and tobacco farmer John Rolfe. That's cool. But it's amongst many different sites that had to do with religious discoveries. Nothing that quite vindicated teachings, perhaps, but I don't know whose teachings have to be vindicated either. But I thought there were some very interesting discoveries anyway in 2010. So I'm giving that one sort of a tangential thumbs up. Chuck from Tampa, Florida said computer designers will finally invent real artificial intelligence in 2010. See, I don't know. Again, I'd give more credit, Dan, to Chuck from Tampa, because I consider my iPhone to be artificial intelligence. I kiss it goodnight. I apologize every time I bump it. Lately, I've been having to say I'm sorry a lot for all the time I've been spending with my iPad. So, you know, at least my technology is intelligent. I may not be. Daniel from Bakersfield, California said some type of scandal will arise inside Google. Yeah, there was several. Take your pick. The spying scandals increased. More about the association between Google and China and many other governments. I think there very much Google continues to be the focus of scandal in some quarters of privacy. Jerry from Connecticut predicted the Dow would hit 14,000, and it didn't, but it had a 4 in it. Instead of 14,000, we hit 11,400. So I don't know whether that counts, but it certainly was an up year for Wall Street. John from Pahrump, Nevada said that the discovery would be that the universe is round. Now, well, yeah, it did not come definitively yet, but there's been a lot of discussion. I don't know if you've spent any time on this. There's three different models for what the universe is shaped like. A lot of people think of it as a flat universe. Other people think of it as a hyperbolic universe, that there is, it has a hyperbolic shape to it, which, you know, is connected to the word hyperbole, as in my dog is so ugly, he has to sneak up on his food, that kind of, you know. But that's no different kind of hyperbole. But then also, I'm a big believer in the spherical universe theory, which is one of the three. And I don't know that we've proven then that the universe is round, but maybe in 2010, we did come up with some new evidence that said the universe is roundish. This roundish count. So how much of an ish will your predictions be? We'll find out coming up next. You make yours for 2011 next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. All right, Jenny is in Denver, Colorado, getting us started up again for a half hour of your predictions on Coast to Coast. Jenny?
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, mine is not so earth-shattering, but I think in the fashion world, and it'll come probably, I think, out of hip-hop, men will start to wear essentially skirts. It'll be heavy dress.
Men will, you're saying?
Yeah.
This is kind of in the, this was kind of a movement about a year ago for men to be wearing more of these, I forgot what they, kilts kind of, but they weren't. They were more in the way of a dress. And why do you think this will happen?
You know, because I always think like in hip hop, they really experiment sort of what it means to dress like a guy. And,
right.
You know, it really sort of turns its head on what that means. Whether, you know, for a while it was really, really low pants where you could see underwear and, you know, they just hardly stayed up. Well, now that's kind of fading. And I just think there'll just be some different things on, I don't think they'll go from that just to back up to regular jeans. I think they'll do some really more creative things.
Right. And this, we're not talking about cross dressing. We're talking about kind of the whole thing.
And I'm not talking about men in suits going to work with skirts on. I don't mean that. I mean, you'll see edgy male dressers wearing essentially skirts.
Okay, right. Okay, very good. All right, we'll keep an eye on that. That's a very good prediction, like the specifics of that. Cambo is in New Jersey on Coast to Coast.
Hey, what's up? This is Cambo.
Glad to have you.
Glad to be on the air. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. So what's your prediction for 2011?
Okay, I have a prediction for 2011 that it'll be proven that the human race has been on the planet Earth for more than 600,000 years. Now, I mean as Homo sapiens, okay? Yeah. And I have something that can prove it in the words of Oak Island. I'm not sure what that exactly means, but that will be.
What do you mean, in the words of Oak Island? How can Oak Island have words?
Oak Island is what's going to transcend the. Oak Island is what is going to make.
I know what Oak Island is, but I don't understand what you're saying. It will, in the words of. You don't know what Oak Island is?
No, but it's going to cast light on.
Well, let me explain Oak Island.
Ancient life will.
Let me explain Oak Island so that we're not just, because it sounds crazy to say Oak Island is going to say something. Oak Island, you're talking about the controversy about the gold well that exists on Oak Island that goes down as a shaft that's extremely deep, that has so far been impenetrable. To its deepest mysteries. So how far down the shaft goes and what's there at the bottom is the question. Oak Island has seemed to have been set up with a series of booby traps that will just send water flooding in every time somebody gets down so far. So that's the Oak Island that of note, unless there's something else about Oak Island I don't know about. And trying to find out what's at the bottom of Oak Island, you're saying will reveal the mysteries of the universe.
Something I had a dream about that I felt like I should call in as I heard this radio program. I have actually not ever heard of an Oak Island, but it was O-A-K and Isle. So that came to me as Oak Island. And I can say is that it says to me that it says human all along, and that for at least 600,000 years, it will be proven the human race has been on Earth for 600,000 years.
Okay, and that's at the bottom of the well in Oak Island. Fair enough. Bill is in Philadelphia on Coast to Coast. Bill?
Yes, sir. My prediction is that Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel and President Ahmadinejad of Iran we'll meet in Jerusalem and declare peace in the Middle East.
I'd love that. Would that be a cool prediction?
I think they're going to imitate the fine example of President Sadat and Prime Minister Begin.
Wow, that would be a prediction for 2011. Love to think that that would come true. Maybe they'll settle it all with they'll just settle it between themselves with like paintball guns.
Well, I'll tell you, not only would peace come to the Middle East, but it would come worldwide. Once those two leaders shook hands and made arrangements to share Jerusalem between them.
Yeah, I think there's some real profit to what you're saying. Good. Thank you. Appreciate that. And Dan, who's in Hackensack? I'm getting, that's Bill in Hackensack on Coast to Coast. Bill?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm making a prediction that Hillary Clinton will become a candidate for the Democratic nomination for president in the year 2012. And she'll make that announcement sometime in 2011.
Well, you're amongst many people who mentioned something like that yesterday, that there would be, whether she would end up being a candidate, or whether she would make herself end up being the vice presidential running mate with Barack Obama. That is something that a couple of people mentioned. Yeah. So that could happen. Very good. Well, we'll mark that. You're on the record for that. Thank you, Bill. You may be able to get a ding or a buzz a year from now. Hillary Clinton's totally denied it. She said she doesn't care what they offer. She's not interested. She loves being Secretary of State. End of story. She could have left that door open. She does it coyly on a lot of stuff. But in this one, she was fairly definitive. But maybe that's just the indication that she's going to do it. Gene is in La Crosse, Wisconsin, on Coast to Coast. We'll get to Gene from what we call God's country here in the Midwest, La Crosse, Wisconsin. Gene?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. The Christopherson House family from where I live, we all wish Coast to Coast and all its listeners and from Ian Punnett right up to the very top.
That's exactly right. You got the right. You were right. You start at the bottom and you go all the way up to the top is exactly right.
Yep. So it's Happy New Year and the whole thing from
good.
Boost beer to gobble to ho-ho to hungover. And my prediction is, and I hate to be grim, and this is going to hurt me more than it is everybody else, and that with the Obamacare and the health insurance issues, I believe approximately 30% of people will be not insured than what is insured right now. So America is going to be falling really short come in the health insurance issue because of the way Obama's going about this. And I really want to be wrong because I want to see something turn around in the right direction to change all this because I don't want to be right.
Well, I don't think you're going to be wrong. I think actually it would be hard for you to be wrong in 2011. I think it is. I think even the way it's designed right now, there's still going to be millions of people left out. So even if Obamacare, so I think there are limitations built into the new health care reform as it exists. Now those may become more glaringly obvious. And then, of course, you know, if the new Congress that comes in lives up to some of its campaign promises that it's going to repeal the health care bill of 2010, then who knows how many millions of people will end up without any care. Rocky is in Livermore, California, on Coast to Coast for our annual prediction show. Rocky?
Hey, Ian, thank you. This is a big privilege for me. I'm a longtime Coast to Coast listener, and I love your guys' show. And to be on at the beginning of the new year, this means a lot to me. And I just wanted to tell you and my prediction, and for all the people out there, that I believe silver would be a good investment this year, just like it was last year and the year before, but that 30 now, and I predict it will double in 2011. That would be the least, and you know, I really believe that silver will get to $400 or $500 an ounce within the next year and a half, and I'm not an investor or anything like that. I just kind of started watching about a year and a half ago when it was at 9, and I kind of made a little purchase just to, you know, play around. It doubled in a year, and
I hear the same thing.
Coming 30,
yeah, a lot of people are making that prediction last night too. I think there's a lot of strong predictions that silver is going to go way up. So
yeah,
good.
I appreciate it, Ian, and keep up the good work. And
thank you.
I think people should get some silver.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Rocky. Appreciate that. Hope there are plenty of people out there that want to sell it. I'm sure there'll be people who will be buying it. Bill is in Santa Cruz, California on Coast to Coast. Bill?
Hey, how you doing, Ian?
Doing all right. So what do you see?
Okay, well, we're not only going into a new year, but, you know, we're in a new decade, and I foresee we're going to see the end of reality TV.
Oh, okay. Now here's somebody really sticking their neck out. So why will it end in 2011?
Well, you know, these shows aren't interesting, and you got, like, these wannabe celebrities like that plus eight lady with the eight ugly kids, you know, running around like they're A-listers, you know, looking down on people, and people are sick of it, you know? They're like, well, why are these people even famous, you know?
Well, I don't think there'll be any shortage of people that will be willing to watch somebody else's kids either behave or misbehave on television. I think the reason why they'll keep making it is it's the cheapest programming out there. And with the all of the expanded cable networks and all the new ways to try to grab the public's attention, that's the cheapest way to do it is with reality programming. So you need people behaving badly. You need to find more and more people are willing to do dumb stuff on TV, and you'll find somebody who'll watch it.
Yeah, but I think people are going to want, you know, sitcoms or, you remember years ago, we had like, people would be like, oh, I can't wait for my favorite show to come on. And now we're watching like, you know.
I realize there's a ton of Drek out there. You had me at hello in one respect, but I don't think it's going to end. I don't think there's any end in sight ever for reality programming. I think there may be more and more people are going to go, you know what, I want better. God bless them. I'm with them. But you're also going to have, along with all of those shows, you're going to have NBC doing more and more of these cheap, easy to produce game shows like Minute to Win It, which for my money is really just a very glossy, well-produced network version of stupid human tricks that we used to do in bars for radio station drinking promotions, period. Almost every single one of these things that they get people to do for cash and prizes on Minute to Win It are things that we used to do at various radio stations over the years for people to get free drinks or a t-shirt. So people who done women that did dumb stuff, people who had to do these little, you know, these quick little things with cards or with eggs and spoons and whatever. All these things that are on Minute to Win It have all been done in bars with copious amounts of alcohol. That's the only difference, really, with Minute to Win It. Minute to Win It is done with nice art direction and no alcohol, but it's basically dumb bar games played by radio stations for the last 10 years on a network version. Very much like, you know, how the Howie Mandel thing that he did. What was it called again? The show that was, Dan, what was the thing that they, yeah, Deal or No Deal? It was basically how many fingers do I have behind my back with a really big hand. It really, it's like guess the number of fingers. That was a whole show on that. So I think that's what you're going to find. Those cheap, easy shows will make lots of money, and so they're not going to go away. However, wouldn't it be nice if we get more shows like a current kind of fun show for me is Castle or the new Hawaii Five-0. Refreshingly good. They would not have been considered great at one time, but they're great now. The backdrop of what they're up against. So more of your predictions then coming up. Mike and Flint, you're going to be first up. And we'll continue to share some of the ones from last year that didn't work out so well. Or maybe a few that did. On Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. So what about your predictions for 2011? What will you be doing, or what do you see the world doing too, for that matter, coming up next on Coast to Coast? This is Ian Punnett. Okay, taking them up to the end of the show, predictions for 2011 coming up tomorrow night on Coast to Coast. We get back to this subject from a different perspective. The Association of Professional Futurists will be on tomorrow night to talk about some of the ways in which these long-term deep trends will be affecting us, business-wise, entertainment, seeing how our jobs might be changing, what could be some hot new industries that'll be coming online in the next couple of years. We talk about commodities like silver or other things that are going to do well. But I think the current position taken by the APF is that the biggest jobs in the year 2015 haven't been invented yet. Hear me out on that. The best paying jobs for the year 2015 haven't been invented yet. Here it is, 2011. So when are they coming from and what would they look like? We'll talk about that coming up tomorrow night on Coast to Coast. Mike is in Flint, Michigan on Coast to Coast. Hey, Mike, Happy New Year.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Happy
and
thank you.
What's your prediction for 2011?
Yeah, in 2011, I think the true intentions of these so-called FEMA camps are going to come to light.
Okay. What will be their true intentions?
Well, their true intention, from what I've been reading about them, most of these camps are privately owned for-profit prisons, and they are intended for illegal aliens. I think if we get a immigration policy, an Arizona-style policy, I don't think it will take long to fill them up at all.
Well, then I think they would be so-called FEMA camps, because these would be more like INS camps. Right?
Well, from what I've read, some of them are FEMA camps, but most of them, and last count, there was 16 camps.
Well, I understand. I'm saying there would be no capacity for them. I see what's written online. Mike, I just have to say, I'm not a believer in that. But I'll just go with the theory that they actually do exist. And I think many of them have been already disproven as just being photos of things that have nothing to do with FEMA, or for that matter, or camps, or even are even open. But what I'm saying is the Federal Emergency Management Administration wouldn't have a dog in the fight when it comes to the INS. And this whole idea that FEMA was going to use a natural disaster, which was the original premise when these stories first started circulating under the Bush-Cheney administration, that Bush and Cheney were out here lining people up and they're going to start taking them into these camps through FEMA. That didn't materialize, obviously, thank God. But if your new proposal is interesting enough to suggest that these are privately owned and that this may come as amount of immigration, if there's a big immigration crackdown, well, okay, I'll go. That would change everything. That would be kind of an INS thing. Then if they were going to have some massive arrests of illegal immigrants, then this would turn into a for-profit thing. I think the hard part with that is I don't know if that's a great business model for a for-profit company. What if you had this? What if you started to allow a certain number of illegal aliens into the country, formerly illegal, but you allow them in on a legal basis as long as they stayed in those camps? And that would be their choice. They would get, you could come and live here and work here, but you'd have to live in one of those camps. And that this would become the new way of being able to turn that into a profit center for for-profit companies. Now you might be talking. Still don't know that it's happening, but Tom is in Minneapolis on Coast to Coast. Tom?
Ian.
Hi. What's your prediction for 2011?
Well, first of all, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And I want to compliment your taste on your music you're playing for the Legion tonight. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent.
Good. Glad you're enjoying it.
My prediction. Late in 2011, Joe Biden is going to announce some kind of health problem, therefore causing the ticket in 2012 to be Obama-Hillary.
Well, that came up last night. Yeah, we just mentioned it a few minutes ago.
I've heard about the ticket, but I think I think this is pre-orchestrated. That the Democrats figure they'd have a pretty solid chance of re-election for Obama, garnering so much of the women's votes by having Hillary on the ticket. But if they just drop Biden, there'd be a backlash from that.
Really? I don't know a lot of people who are so pro-Biden that they'd be mad that he's gone.
No, I'm saying that. No, I'm just saying that.
How could you treat Joe Biden that way?
No, you're misunderstanding me. I'm saying that they would look at it as orchestrated, that they were going for the woman's vote by putting Hillary on there.
Wow. And so this way they would fool the
public. We think this was, a ploy just for the woman's vote.
I see.
And so therefore, they're going to come up with a health issue.
Okay. Well, that's been a story of all along. Because this came out last year, too, that somehow Biden's...
Okay.
That's okay. So that Biden's health issues would force him to step down and that Hillary would step in. And she denied... I think it was like August or September. She was saying, absolutely not going to happen. I don't want to leave. Even if Joe Biden did step down, I wouldn't take it. But that doesn't mean she still won't. I don't know. I think the big prediction might be actually that somehow you could do anything and the American public wouldn't be suspicious of it. So that would be a prediction, you know, because I think whether no matter what happens, we always expect that politicians are running a game on us. Right. I mean, there's never a time when you look at that and you go, oh, well, they must mean that sincerely. So Robert is in San Francisco, California, on Coast to Coast. Wild Card Line. Robert.
Good evening. Happy New Year.
And to you, what are you going to predict for 2011?
I predict the world will end in 2011.
Wow. What leads you to make that prediction?
Based on about 70 years of intense research.
That you've been making? You don't sound 70.
No way. Definitely not me. That's for sure. Based on 70 years of intense research that's been done at Family Radio.
You're talking about the Harold Camping theory.
And no, not the Harold Camping theory. I mean, people all around the world. It's not.
No, I understand. But you're talking about Harold. Are you talking about his May 21st prediction?
The May 21st.
Well, that's Harold Camping. Let's just cut to the chase.
No, it's not Harold Camping. It's not. It's
okay.
I mean, he's the one that first discovered the calendar in the Bible. That's
okay.
For sure. The calendar is accurate. Anybody can walk through it and verify. You don't want to believe Harold Camping. That's for sure.
What happens on May 22nd and we're still here?
Well, the Bible, you know, that's what everybody says, but that's what the Bible teaches.
No, I'm asking you, what will happen on May 22nd if we're still here?
I can't answer that because...
What will you be doing leading up to May 21st? Will you be selling your stuff? Will you
No, the Bible doesn't say to do that. The Bible says occupy...
I'm just asking what you're going to do. I understand. So you're going to say...
I come.
I understand that. So okay. You're saying you're going to go along until May 21st. And
right.
You're not going to do anything different about your life. You're just going to be, May 21st is going to be just like any other day. What will your day be like on May 21st, 2011?
Well, no, that's not quite it. But the only difference is between now and May 21st, once you become aware of the information, the Bible declares that you're supposed to tell others about it.
Robert, I understand. I fear you're not honoring my simple questions. I think I'm just asking you, what will your day be like on May 21st? You get up that morning and
right.
You'll do what?
I hope that I won't be here.
Why would you hope that you won't be here?
Well, I hope to be taken up on May 21st.
Okay. So you can't wait until you die to experience heaven. You want to get it on May 21st. And so if it doesn't happen that you wake up and nothing's happened, you awake and cars are going to work and radio stations are playing, you know, cheesy records and you go to work, then what?
Well, no, that's not what the Bible says. I mean, we have to, you know.
What will you do? I'm just asking, what will you do if you wake up and you're still here?
Well, that's a good question, but, you know, you have to let God worry about that. If that's not what the Bible says. So, you know, what do you do? If you can trust the Bible, then you don't think that way.
I trust the Bible completely,
okay.
And I don't think that way. So that's our disagreement. I trust the Bible completely,
okay.
And I think 180 degrees differently than you do. So I think that's our point of disagreement. I'm just curious
right.
What your experience will be like when you go through what's called by people who watch this trend called disconfirmation.
Well, but, you know, the key difference is between what's being said today and any other declaration in history. There's one key difference, okay? And that is it has to do with time, okay? The Bible speaks about time, and the Bible declares that parts of the Bible were sealed up until the end of time.
I get you're a true believer, Robert. I get that. And I think you're being a strong witness for your investment in this belief. So I feel like with every question, I know I'm opening up to another catechismal response from you.
Okay.
I'm trying to get to the human side of this, and I'm telling you, make plans for what you will do as a person of faith for May 22nd, if it doesn't happen. Because brother to brother, I would really bet that you have to have a plan B, and that we're still here, and the world will continue to revolve, And we'll continue to be doing what we do. I'll be on the air that night, Robert, and I would strongly encourage you to call and talk about what life is like. Last night I talked with a Campanite who told me that if the world doesn't go boom on May 21st, there is no God and the Bible's completely false. Now, that's a lot of gambling on that one day. So I ask you, have a plan B ready to go. Or are you ready to live out the rest of your life as an atheist because God has been proven to be false in your estimation, because God didn't blow up the world on the date that Harold Camping predicted.
Not Harold Camping. It's important not for anybody to trust Harold Camping or anybody.
Well, I understand. I want
to go to the Bible and read.
I understand. Them. I went through this with Harold Camping back in 1994.
Right.
So I'm a little jaded by his certainty of 1994.
Now, I can understand that, but remember,
okay.
He put a
well, that's fine.
After 1994, he didn't say it was not declared. He said it was a quite. He said there's a
he
strong
was pretty
probability, but he didn't say it would happen. He said
he was leaving out the smallest of possibility that it wouldn't happen. He was absolutely declaring it was going to happen. Now I know that because I lived it with him.
I was but, there too. But there was a question mark in his book, 1994. It was not a declaration. He still said.
Okay, that's fine. So that was his trapdoor. So there's no trapdoor. So if he's wrong this time, then what? That's the question you got to ask yourself, and just plan for that. Be ready for that. Have a therapist on standby. Having your pastor ready to go to talk you through what May 22nd will be like for you in 2011, or. It's a big I told you so, and there will be no show that night on Coast to Coast. So it'll be up to you. Tony's in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania on Coast to Coast for the wild card line. Tony?
Yes, hello, Ian.
Hey.
I'd just like to say, one way or the other, we're all going to see our last day on Earth.
In 2011?
No, my prediction for 2011 is that an informant will come forward and lead to the capture of Osama bin Laden.
Okay, in 2011, you see that coming forward. What will happen, do you think?
I think there will be a tremendous media circus. I believe that the informant probably is just the fact that human nature, and especially the type of people that we're dealing with in this situation, it's been 10 years, whether it's going to be a power struggle, or just a moment of conscience coming upon the man, but he's going to come forward.
Okay, interesting. It'd be a moment of conscience would be an amazing thing to witness, wouldn't it? I would love that. I think that's like, I love that prediction of all the ones I think I've heard, that Osama bin Laden will have a moment of conscience and come forward. Glenn is in Wyoming and a trucker. Hey, Glenn, what's the weather like for you in Wyoming right now?
It's a little chilly and extremely windy.
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit of the wind here, but I thought you were going to be looking at almost blizzard-like conditions. No?
Between Cheyenne and Rawlings, it was that way.
Okay, very good. Glad you're safe. What's your prediction for 2011?
My prognostication is that 2011 is going to have a big uptick in the number of people that are going to be using alternative media, shows like Coast to Coast, Alex Jones, No Agenda, as their primary source of media. And that's tied in with people becoming more and more dissatisfied with the content that mainstream media is producing.
Define mainstream media now.
Like CNN, the major networks.
Okay, CNN, Fox, the major networks,
right?
I would say that never before in history have the major networks, CNN and Fox News, had as little influence as they do than they do now.
Right.
I think that's the good news. I think it backs up your prediction. I think there are so many resources out there, whether it's online, podcasting, Twitter accounts that people have. There's so many ways to get messages out that don't require any kind of mainstream news organization to get behind it.
Right.
Yeah, I think you could be right. And that includes you too. You know, I mean, anybody listening can start their podcast tomorrow. And start the process of gathering listeners and getting the word out to what you're doing. It's really the best, fastest way to break into radio. Don't wait for some radio station to hire you or, take a hard look at whether you're going to pay a broadcasting school to train you. It's just the business has made too many changes to count on that model. And you can do a lot just by proving what you have to say and your own research and the things you're interested in. Look what Alex Jones has done with that. George is in Kansas City on Coast to Coast. George?
Happy New Year, Ian.
Happy New Year.
Oh, okay. My prediction is it's about the Vatican, not the Pope per se, but I believe that the Vatican sometime this year is going to return to France and re-return, rather, Avignon, France.
Right,
and
sure.
They're basing this on a an undersea volcano that I think is finally going to erupt, and it's going to, you know, God forbid, I hope I'm wrong, but it's going to take out everything from Rome to Naples, southern Italy.
Wow. Wow. So where is this volcano? Is it under Rome or under?
It's under sea, and they said it is active, and it could blow any minute. And I'm also basing this on yesterday, well, maybe not even 12 hours ago, the Catholic grade school that I attended as a child was destroyed by a tornado, not too far from where George Norrie gives.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't caught that news. I was watching too much sports tonight, but I was sorry to learn about that. And we should all be mindful about tornadoes and people who are left in the aftermath. Very good. Thank you, George. Well, we'll watch for that and we'll get more of yours coming up. Our last hour of the prediction show for 2011. And we'll share some of the ones from last year that did or didn't come true next Coast to Coast. And then also coming up tomorrow night, it's the Futurists show from professionals. And I say professionals in this case, not being clairvoyants or psychics or, you know, people who have astrology or numerology or other fine ways of divining the future. But tomorrow night is the Association of Professional Futurists who are looking at some of the new ways that you're going to be affected in 2011 by deep trends that are on the way. Some of the earliest signs of big shifts in the United States, in our economy, in our business practices, in our personal life, that you'll start to see in 2011, perhaps, that are on the way in the next 5 or 10 years. Coming up tomorrow night, you'll get the first glimpse of that on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Bunnett.